just some technical question. What is the difference between consciousness and the mind and intelligence? Because sometimes I hear that you talk about consciousness, and then about subtle body.
The devotee is asking a question: what's the difference between consciousness and the linga sharira? The chit, consciousness means chit, and linga sharira, sharira means body, and body means lokik, material. Sharira, in Hindi we say sharira, deha. Tahino shmin yata dehe, komaram yavaram jara, tata dehantara pratir, divaras tata namuyati. Gita, second chapter. So the dehi, or sharir, this is the body, So this is the mind, intelligence, they're all made of this prakriti. That's explained. But apareyam itastvanyam minibeparam. Krishna's telling in seventh chapter of Gita, Bhagavad Gita 7.4, he says that, or maybe 7.5, I forget. He said there's bhumir, there's all these things. There's ashta prakriti, and then there's apara prakriti. Apara means transcendental. So that's consciousness. So mind and intelligence and this buddhi and man and indriya, these are all lokik, these are all prakriti. They're all material energy. They're just combining and like this. But the background of the whole thing, it's all being the energy that's moving everything, it's consciousness, either the individual consciousness within us or the vast unlimited consciousness, vibhuchit. We say anuchit means an atom of consciousness, or vibhuchit. Vibhuchit means the universal consciousness, means God, Bhagavan. So that drop of consciousness, that anuchit, is what we call consciousness. So one side is the material body, and it's like you have a light bulb, that's like the mind. The light bulb, the bulb, what do you call it? Bulb, you know, bulb? The light bulb, that's the mind, that's the intelligence. But unless it contacts electricity, it doesn't give light. So the living part of the actual consciousness is what's the living particle. Because life is consciousness, consciousness is God, God is nitya. So consciousness is nitya. So the consciousness, now how does the consciousness interacts? Because we say in Gita, generally a very simple analysis of the material energy is that there's ashta prakriti, right? Ashta prakriti means eight forms of energy. Bhumir, apo, nalo, vayu, kam, mano, buddhir, evacha. Ahankara, like this. Itima, mam, bina prakriti, ashtada. Bina prakriti says my separated energies. So it's the same thing. Krishna is saying in the Gita, 7th chapter, bina prakriti. So this energy is separated from me. So this is your answer right there. So right there he's saying we have earth and we have, you know, English. We have earth, water, fire, air, ether. And these are bina prakriti. These are separate from me. So because Krishna's consciousness, super consciousness, and this is the Bahiranga Shakti, this is the external energy. So we are also consciousness, we are a drop of consciousness. So also our earth, our bones, this, the earth and water, the blood is the water and the bones are the earth, and earth and water and a fire in the belly and a fire in the eye and a fire in the mind. It's called Diagni and Akagni and Jadaragni. These are fires. So those are external to us also. As above, so below. So the conscious. So now, although there's eight are mentioned there, Krishna's mentioning eight, and then he mentions the next verse. He mentions the ninth one, the apara prakriti. The apara prakriti means the divya shakti, means the spiritual particle. That's consciousness. But there's one point. It says in third canto of Bhagavatam and also other places. There's something called the chitta. We have these eight energies. The gross energies and mind, intelligence, and ego, that's eight. But then beyond that, it's called the chitta. Chitta is a layer. It's actually, there's nine coverings of the consciousness, nine coverings. So the first covering is chitta. So chitta, that's why chitta is like chit shakti. That means the consciousness, spiritual consciousness. It's nitya, it's all pervading. Just like we're in this body, and a drop of consciousness is pervading the whole body. That's why we have awareness everywhere. Krishna is in one place, but his consciousness is all pervading throughout the universe. So it's like, I am in one place, I am in many places. So it, as a particle of consciousness, the Atma, I'm also, my energy of consciousness is also spread all over my body. Krishna is in one place, but his energy is spread all over the universe. Supreme consciousness. So ours is finite consciousness within this boundary, because we're a particle. Mameiv amsho amsha. Mameiv amsho jivaloke anksh. Anksha means a particle. Krishna says, you're a particle of me. It means you're a drop of consciousness, a ray of light. Like the sun is there, and then a ray is coming through the window screen. When one light beam is coming through the screen of the window, the jali, you could say jali, kirki jali, and little dust particles are dancing there. So that ray of consciousness is within our heart. So this chitta, there's not much specifically told about it, but chitta is the interface between consciousness and the subtle and gross body. And in the chitta is all the sanskaras. Sanskaras means, it's almost like the chitta of the individual is like the Akashic records for the world. Mm-hmm. The Akashic records are some type of subtle layer that's within the ether circulating the globe where people can contact. Akash means calm. There's a record of some shabda. So many things that have been said and so much knowledge, everything is still floating in the shabda, Akashic records. So some people in the West or even India, they by meditation, by dhyan, by yoga, or just by some nature, they can communicate to that. So that's the same thing. That's a record of so many histories and different people and medicines and cures, and many things are floating around up there like invisible satellites. So same in the chitta of the jiva, in the chitta is a sanskaras. So the sanskaras are all the different things that we've done. In the form of, and the four types of karma are stored there in the chitta, and that's called chitta is a layer that separates the ahankara from the atma.
I thought that ahankara separates.
No, that's atma. No, because that's then it's only eight, and then the ninth. But the ninth is the atma. But there's ten because beyond ahankara, and Satyanarayan has also described this. I've heard from him. Beyond ahankar is a chitta. The chitta is like is containing all the sanskaras. So the prarabdha karmas are there, or the aparabdha karmas, the kutam and bijam. So somehow that is like it's like a cloud. Everyone stores some back up their information on the cloud. So all our information from many lifetimes is stored in the chitta, and the chitta is going with us. Because the subtle body, it's kind of like. Imagine like the chitta is like a tractor is going down the street with a trolley, and then some kids come by with a bicycle and they hold on to the back of the tractor, the trolley, and they don't have to pedal; they can just go fast as the tractor. So the chitta is a trolley, and then riding the bicycles, hanging on the chitta is ahankar, buddhi, it's ahankar, buddhi, and man. And then when the soul leaves his body. It goes with the chitta. It goes with the prana.
Prana also?
Yeah, the prana. The prana is the wings of the chitta. Yeah. The wings of the chitta is the prana. So that, you know, this is just analogies to give you some idea. So then what's left is just the five elements, and earth and all that. Earth goes into the earth, the water goes into the water, the calm goes into the calm, and the fire goes into the fire. That's why when they cremate, everything is accomplished. Because if you just bury in the ground, the worms eat and whatever, then the body is, you're not offering your body back to the elements. So when you burn, then the water of your body gets evaporated, goes back to the water, then the fire, the fire in your stomach merges with the fire, and then it ends up with ashes, and ashes goes to the earth. So this cremation is all about, because our body is made of all these five elements, so then we get cremated, then it's all the elements are going back. So the consciousness is that's why Prabhupada said that the soul is floating on the life airs above the heart. There's some analogy like that they say over here, like that. On the five panchapran, the soul is just floating on the panchapran. It's like if you have a ping pong ball. You know ping pong ball? Little hard plastic thing, donk, 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 donk. We call it ping pong. Table tennis?
Yeah.
I think you call it table tennis. In America, they call it ping pong, ping pong. It's very simple. Because when you hit it, it goes kind of ping, and then you go backwards, pong. And you say table tennis. Well, America has a way of slanging out. Everything turns into slang. You know, ping pong. You go, what's that? You know, little wooden paddle, little. So that. If you go like that, you know, you can keep it floating above you. So that's, you can keep the thing floating. So that's the Atma is like that. So the Atma is a ping pong ball, and the Panchapran is just moving and it's just kind of floating.
It's floating
in the realm of the heart.
It's fixed place, yeah.
In the realm of. Well, I mean, it's like the sun is fixed, but the light is all over. So the Atma is fixed, but its consciousness is spread from head to toe, everywhere.
When it is said in the place of heart, that means in the heart chakra or in the organ of heart?
I can't recall the specifics of that. I would tend to stay in the region of the heart. This heart chakra is generally, at least in my understanding, it's a part of the center of the body. Through the, you know, it's a subtle, like we have the gross spinal cord and all the spinal cord inside the vertebrae and the center of the back. But in the same, somewhere, it's a psychic spinal cord. A psychic spinal cord going from the Muladhara chakra up to the Sahasrapadma chakra. Is it inside the vertebrae? Is it in the front of the vertebrae? Is it in the back? It's somewhere in the center. In the center. It's like these are plexus, like it's called solar plexus. These are different plexus across energies. So you can say the heart chakra is in the center somewhere, but then the energy radiates. So where it's radiating, then that'll include, obviously the heart chakra is somewhere here, which means near the heart. So its radiation is going everywhere. The light bulb is one place, and the whole parking lot's lit up. So then the same heart chakra, you can say the heart and heart chakra is basically one, like sun and sunlight. Mm-hmm. Well, where's the soul? Your soul situated in heart chakra? And anahata, what's it called? Anahata chakra. Or is it in above the region of the riddhi heart? Heart, which is the left side. It's like it's in the middle. Because the heart chakra in the heart, that's why it's called a heart chakra, because that's what's maintaining the heart. Sounds like a scientist. I don't know much of these things. I just row my boat across the Ganga. Govinda Gopal. I'm like scholar and the boatman. What kind of clouds is that? What kind of fish are that? Then the wind's blowing. Oh, what direction is that wind coming from? I think it's due west. It's northwest. I don't know, scholar. You're from Britain. You're a PhD in meteorology and science. I'm just a Bengali boatman, a Nauka. And I know that now this wind is blowing and we have so far to go. The Ganga is so big and the waves are coming. And I don't know anything. I don't know what kind of fish. I know that one, the black one jumps like this and this one goes there. And this one tastes good, this one doesn't taste good. I know this much, because I'm a fisherman, you know, I'm a boatman. Oh, you don't know all these things. You don't know that this is a cumulus nimbus. Cumulus nimbus cloud, and this is a cirrus cloud. Don't you know the difference between cumulus nimbus, nimbo, and a cirrus cloud? Do you see this direction? Do you understand what direction it's coming from? I don't know, it's blowing, I know that. And there's some waves coming, and the boat's rocking. Do you understand? And then so the boatman says, do you understand that? And he said, yeah. But he's still saying, now what is the cause of this wind? Why is it blowing from the north? Has it snowed in the Himalayas? Is there some storm there? It's creating a temperature differential, and therefore the barometer is dropped, and then it's increased. So he's having this dialogue, and then the boatman says, I don't know, you just hold on. Let me ask you one thing. You know so much. You're a big professor. You're from Oxford. Oxford professor. And very, very learned man. So I have one question to ask you, because it looks like our boat is about to turn over. And I don't know anything, but let me ask you, Mr. Professor, do you know how to swim? And he says, no. And he said, well, you know, I know how to swim, so Govinda Gopal. And the boat tips over and sinks, and the boatman swims to shore, and the Oxford professor goes down to the bottom for sure. So we have to know the essential knowledge that Krishna is God, I am his servant, let me serve him and love him. Simplicity. Love is the simplest thing. But it's nice, our minds have, as we say, many men, many minds, and one man, many ideas, many questions. Many. It's okay. Because ultimately, as it says in the beginning of Bhagavatam, the sages are asking, Sutta Goswami, can you please tell us what is the essential knowledge that one, the human being should have, you know, before he dies? And we didn't get too much into, you know, the difference between consciousness and, you know, it says Puro Dharma. It says, you know, Hoitaki Bhakti, the most important chapter in terms of Tattva and Siddhanta for the Bhakta. For the Bhakta, the most important chapter for Tattva Siddhanta, for Bhakti, for the for the Sambandha, Bhagavan Jiva Sambandha, and the Abhideya, or the Sadhana Vyas, and the Prayojana, or the Paramgati. Most important chapter is the first canto, chapter 2. All the verses are there. And that, because that's where he starts to answer the questions. And Prabhupada, you see here, 1, 2, he has so many, verse after verse he's quoting. And he said once, he brought the first canto to America, and in the beginning, in 1966, he asked all the devotees on Second Avenue, they memorized chapter 2. And we heard that when we joined in 75. And at one time I had also memorized, but you can see all that. You just go after the class, you go and you look through these verses. Prabhupada has practically quoted the whole chapter here, not really, but for the sake of brevity or whatever. This is first canto, chapter 2. He's got, you can write this down, you're taking notes. So you say, these are the verses Prabhupada considered important, which means they have quite a universal application and significance. So now we're talking first canto, chapter 2, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and 28 through 29, which I think is the whole chapter. So if you know these 29 verses in the Tikkas of Vishwanath and Jiva, which are available now in English, and maybe Sridhar Maharaj is also here and there you can find, and maybe other ones, then you'll be totally fixed in Krishna Bhakti. And that's the important thing. Whether you know the fine points of quantum mechanics and the different layers of consciousness, that's good. It's indicating a very fine and discriminating intelligence. But ultimately, as Brahma says in his stuti, Brahma stuti, Gyane Priyasam Urupasi Namante Eva. And Prabhupada quotes that verse so many times. 10th canto, chapter 14, Brahma stuti. That's another chapter. This chapter 1, and then a reminder of all the essential tattvas, is 10th canto, chapter 14, Brahma stuti. Very, very important. Very important. Brahma, because Brahma, he's Adi Guru. Krishna is the Jagat Guru, but then the Adi Guru. Jagat Guru is Krishna, then Adi Guru, because he taught Brahma. So here it says, this is it, 10.14.3. Gyane prayasam udapasyanamanta eva jivanti sanmu karitam bhavadiya vartam Stane stita shuti gatam tano van mano bir ye prayasho jita jita as asitais trilokyam stane stita shrutigatam. We were discussing that verse the other day. He says, shrutigatam, whatever you have received by hearing, shrutigatam, gati, that goal, that conclusion, that idea, that truth that you've heard by shruti, shrutigatam, what should you do? Stane stita. You should stay in one place. Stay in one place and meditate on that. Because the question was asked about, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gopal Kumar or some Brahmin, whoever it was, he got a mantra, he got a Diksha mantra. Then he was chanting that Diksha mantra and he was traveling from here to there, to this place and that place and this position, that position. And he was never satisfied. He went from here to there. And someone was saying, so what can you say about this? And I said, he wasn't, because he just got the mantra from his guru and his guru didn't apparently tell him anything. Because if he got the mantra, his guru would have told him, stane stita. Stane stita. Stane means place, like lila stan. Stita means stita dimuni, means fixed. He said, I've given you this mantra, now sit in front of Thakurji, sit in front of your shalagram, day and night. Do pranayam, take bath, put on clean cloth, sit on white walasan, or sit on kusa grass or durva grass, but more practical and available is white walasan, and your mantra dhyan. So stane stita, you stay in one place, shrutigatam, and you worship what you've heard from me. You worship the Gopal mantra, you worship Kam Gayatri. And everything you'll get. No need for pilgrimage, no need for yaksha, everything. So he wasn't satisfied because he was going this place, this stan, and that stan, and this stan, and that stan. And of course, all those places, wherever he was people that didn't have the same mentality, didn't have the same mood, and didn't have the same objective or gatam. So usually, it's very nice. Saying, Gyane Priyasam, the endeavor for knowledge, Urupasya. Gyane Priyasam Urupasya Namata Eva. One should give up absolutely the endeavor for knowledge. This is Brahma's conclusion after a six-year-old boy totally bewildered him. Brahma Vimohan Leela, chapter 13. He said, I have four brains. This kid he's got a kid's brain. He's only 7 years old, and there's only one little Gopal, and he's totally befuddled me and bewildered me. Vimohan, completely, absolutely confounded me. And from his body he's produced millions of Vishnus and millions of Brahmas. What is going on here? I thought I knew so much. You know, I have an Apple. I have four Apple computers up here, you know, with the biggest possible memory and hard drive and everything you can get, and processor, and you know, I have a Brahma processor. processor, whatever. So it says, stay in your position and throw away the process. Actually, there's a really nice translation here I saw in this other verse book here. It was by, it's very nice, and we can remember this, one of the great saints of the IGM. Who I had the fortune of meeting and embracing in 1978 in Navadvip, Koladvip, where the ashram is. 350. She's okay, you should help her. Gyane Priyasam Udapasya Namanteva. So this is a translation by Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Swami Maharaj from Gaudiya Math, one of the great teachers and great gurus of the 20th century, especially in the Gaudiya Math area. So he gives a translation of Brahma's prayer, verse 3, chapter 14. Hatefully giving up all intellectual attempts to understand the Supreme Truth. Those who want to realize Krishna should completely surrender to Krishna. They should hear from self-realized devotees about your holy name and transcendental pastimes. He didn't say tattva. Tattva Siddhanta. They should hear your holy name and transcendental pastimes. Whatever situation they may find themselves in other words, they just stay there. Whatever situation they may find themselves in, they should progress by fully dedicating their mind, body, and words to you, Sri Krishna. In this way, the infinite, who is never conquered by anyone, becomes conquered through love. That's a very nice translation. That was Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev. So this is Bhakti Vedanta, Srila Prabhupada's translation of the same. Those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge and with their body, words, and mind offer respects to descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly such persons conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. And Jiva Goswami has a commentary on this verse. You'll like this. Knowledge of Bhagavat Tattva. It's Bhagavat Tattva, what to speak of. You were talking about Gyan Tattva, the chitta and all these things. This is Gyan Tattva. Knowledge of Bhagavat Tattva obstructs the natural prema of Braj, which has not even a scent of reverence based on social conventions and restrictions. So this is, we're discussing this Brahma Stuti. Gyane priyasam udapasya namanteva jivanti sanmukkaritam bhavadiyavartam stane stita shutikatam tanovan manobir ye priyasha jita jito jitopyasi tais trilokyam. So Brahma is telling here that jnana prayas, we have shreyas and prayas. Shreyas means long-term benefit. And prayas means work so hard. He says, shreya, jnane prayasam udapasya namanteva. That's udapasya. He said, udapasya means discarding. We should udapasya jnane prayasam, the endeavor for knowledge. He says, shrutikatam, stane stita shrutikatam. He said we should stay, then tanu van manobir. This is the most important sentence. There's no commentaries here. This is from Vena Gita, this one. But it's on this verse. There's just a verse. But stane stita shrutikatam, tanu van manobir. So Brahma is saying, there's no need to go this look, you know, Tapalok, Maharlok, Janalok. There's no need to go anywhere. You don't have to go on Tirthyatra. You don't have to go anywhere. It says, Shrutikatam, Shrutikatam. What have you heard? What have you heard? Shruti, Shrutikatam. Shrutikatam means, it says, Stane, what have you received? Gatam, Shrutikatam means, what, like Patra, what have you received by hearing? Guruji gave me Diksha. I heard Gopal Mantra. I heard Kam Gayatri. So now, I've heard this, and everything is here. All tattvas, all rasa, tattva, lila, everything is in these mantras. My sarup is in these mantras. Krishna's sarup is in the mantras. Radha sarup, lila, braj lila, everything is in these mantras. Or, diksha is there, then maybe he says, now you study Bhagavatam, or he speaks Bhagavatam. So then this is there. So Bhagavad Katha and Diksha Mantras is Shruti Katam. I've heard this, now what do I do? Now, and then he says, Stane Stita. I should, in one stan, in one place, I should be fixed. I don't have to go anywhere. That's why we say Asan, Upasan, Upasan. Upasan means to sit near, Upa Asan. So there's Deva Upasana, there's Narayan Upasana, there's Brahman Upasana. So this is the way you sit. Upasana means sitting in one place and doing abhyas, yoga abhyas, daily practice, studying the Vedanta Sutra, Tattvamasi, Tattvamasi, Sarvakalvidam Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi. This is the Vedanta Sutra. And then they're sitting in one place. So if you're a bhakta, you sit in one place and you do Bhagavat Shravan, you hear the Bhagavatam or you read the Bhagavatam and chant Diksha Mantras. Stane Stita Shrutikatam. Tano Van Manobir. This is the whole Abhideya. One line, one pada of Brahma Stuti. That's why I'm saying it's so important. It says, Gyane Priyasam Udapasya Namanteva. So just you offer obeisances. That endeavor for this, all this gyan, all so much gyan, I have to know this. How does the mind work? What are dreams and how are dreams produced? We can go on infinitely, ask questions about any aspect of this Maya Prakriti, this material energy, the subtle aspects of mind, intelligence, astral travel. What happens? What's connecting the yogi to the body? What is that invisible thread, that string that's connecting that he comes back after 6 months and many things you can wrap your mind around. But Brahma is saying, no. You surrender to Guru, and then because you'll see everything. Kya says Tattva Darshan. Tattva Darshan. The sadhaka, by his yoga abhyas, eventually he sees the truth. Tattva Darshan. And if you see God, if you see Krishna, this is the perfection of Bhakti Bhajan. Darshan of Krishna. Prem means darshan. Bhava, when you attain bhava, then there's darshan, but it's called spurti. Spurti darshan, vispurti darshan. But once you attain bhava, then you're eligible for sakshat darshan. Jiva Goswami said, when one comes to the bhava bhakti platform, then he's eligible. He has the adhikar. He is qualified for Krishna's, he's been accepted by Krishna now. And Krishna's own sweet will, when he wants to give sakshat darshan, that's with him. The example is in first canto, chapter 6, verse 26, 7, and 8. Narada Muni, he's doing his bhajan. Then he attained bhava. You can see he was crying, and you see the symptoms. He was exhibiting septic vikars, but still no darshan. And then finally, he gave up his body. No, just before that, he had darshan. Once. He had once. Actually, in the very beginning of his sadhana. In the very beginning of his sadhana. He had darshan. He said, you won't see me again. After that, he heard a voice. So then, that was in the very beginning. Like when we start bhakti, sometimes when we begin bhakti, we get initiated. Wow, it's really great, these diksha mantras. And there's so much enthusiasm. And you feel like you're right with Krishna. And all of a sudden, you know, the clouds, it was a clear sky, everything's bright and beautiful. And all of a sudden, clouds settle in. And, hey, where's the sunlight? And where's that experience? Where's that utsaha? Where's that joy? And then maybe not for a long time. We don't know. So this is with Krishna. He's Swatantra. He's independent. So he got very early, and he thought, Narada Muni is saying, I hardly did any bhajan, and already I had darshan. He's saying, okay, I'll just do what, I'll just chant my mantra again, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and I'll get darshan. And he was chanting. He was doing whatever he was doing before, meditating on Paramatma, chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nothing's happening. Oh, he's just, you know, he's a kid, you know. He was just a small kid, just a beginner, like a new bhakta, just got initiated. Wow, I'm a devotee. Hare Krishna, I shave my head, you know. I have a shika. Oh, I'm flying cloud nine. I'm liberated now, you know. I just feel everyone. I feel love everywhere and bhakti everywhere and Krishna's everywhere. Wow, you know. Yeah, let's go on this. Hare now, Hare now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Take a book. Yeah. Then, you know, a year later, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then 2 years later, 3, 5, 7, 10, 9, 29, 39, 42 years I'm doing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna in this life. Still going on. But I don't know. This have to keep going. What to do? You can't quit. If Krishna gives you the ticket, you got to fly. So Krishna's given a ticket. This is Samarpayatam. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, 114. Anarpita Trimcharat Karanayavatirana Kalo. Samarpayatum. Samarpayatum means I'm giving you this Gopi Bhav. You don't have Gopi Bhav in your heart. If you got it, then what? Then I'm out of a job. If we already have Gopi Bhav in the heart, if we already have Bhakti in the heart, if we already have Prem in the heart, then Lord Chaitanya is out of a job. He better fold up to Kali Yuga, because there's no golden avatar, there's no Patita Bhavan avatar. It's right there. That's why it's called the Paribhasa Sutra, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhasha means language and words and talk, and pari means all directions, all sides, all the talks. Paribhasha Sutra. Sutra means a code, a compact, you know, like zip, what do you call it? Zip file. Zip file. You know, zip file on your computer, and they open up, ooh, there's so many things. I have all the books in the folio in a zip file. Okay, you get it. Wow, I got 10,000 books. So they do like that. Compression. So compressing the Vedantic wisdom, all the Upanishads and Shruti, I mean the four Shrutis and Upanishads, they compress it and then they make the sutra called Vedanta Sutra. Anyway, you know these things. So he Samarpayatum means he's come to give this Gopi Bhav, which we don't have it. And this is the whole foundation. This is Raghunuga Margi Pracharan. Lord Chaitanya has come in his Kali Yuga to give Gopi Bhav and to preach Raghunuga Bhakti. That's right in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Madhya Leela chapter 8. Then he says, Atta eva Gopi Bhava Angikara. Now certainly. Atta eva. Now certainly. You must. Certainly means an absolute adverb. Now certainly, Gopi Bhava Angikara. You must accept Gopi Bhava. This is it. The teachings in Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy is Vishaka. It's Ayuteshwari and Waitaparigar. So Vishaka's come is Ramananda Roy to teach the Gopi Bhav. The whole Madhya Leela is Gopi Bhav. Adi Leela chapter 4 is all about gopis. What is gopis? What is Radharani? What is her love? What is prema? This prema of Radharani and Braja prema. That's Adi 4. And then what is the goal of life? Which Lord Chaitanya obviously knows. He came to give the goal of life. But he's playing like, I don't know. Oh, can you tell me, what's the goal of life? Oh, the goal of life is Varnashram. No, you must go higher than that. Oh, the goal of life is Daivi Varnashram. No, you have to go higher than that. The goal of life is surrender all your dharmas, Sarvadharma Pratyajya. That's Bhagavad Gita. And Lord Chaitanya says, no, you have to go up beyond that. So this is Madhya Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, number 8. So he keeps presenting valid methods of upasana, valid methods of worship of the Absolute Truth, you know, Varnashram, and then he says karma tyag, then he says karma sannyas, then he goes this way, that way, he finally comes to Shantaras, then Dasiras. He said, yeah, now this is good. First he said, that's external. He says, eho baya age karo. Eho baya, that's baya, that's external. Like Bahiranga Shakti. The Bhagavad Gita is external. I mean, it's not external that it's worthless. It's very important and it's a valid path. But the objective, the intention Lord Chaitanya had was to go to the highest, present the highest thing, the Mahabhava of Radha Krishna, the Prem Vivart. The Ramananda Rai went to the point of Prem Vivart. And Prem Vivart is like shellac. You take shellac, it's from some tree, and you melt it. Then whatever you join it to, they become one, they melt. So Radharani's heart and Krishna's heart, they melted like shellac. In the fire of Krishna's love and the fire of her love, they too became one. So Krishna didn't know. Vivart means transformation. Krishna thinks, am I Krishna or am I Radha? And Radharani thinks, am I Radha or am I Krishna? No, I'm Krishna, I'm Radha. So this is Prem Vivart. Absolute oneness, where the two become one and the one thinks he's the other. So then Lord Chaitanya says, okay, don't go high, that's high enough. And he put his hand on his mouth. He said, you've said enough. So this is a great thing. That if you put everything together, because this is Paribhasa Sutra, means this sutra, this verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita, this establishes the whole, this is the thread that holds all the pearls on a necklace. That's another way to say it. Because sutra is a very interesting point. Because the word sutra in Sanskrit means thread. You know thread? You know, in the cloth when you're sewing? Piece of thread, needle and a thread? So sutra means a thread. And then, but has, you know, Sanskrit has many meanings. So this shloka is a sutra to hold the entire teachings of Lord Chaitanya. I've come to give unat ujvala rasam. Unat ujvala rasam means the shringar prem, the parakiya bhav, and the shringar prem of Radha and Krishna Vrindavan. And the best way to do is Swabhakti Shriyam, by serving Radharani, by being a servant of Radharani, Radhadasyam, Gopi Bhav, Manjari Bhav. This is now the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, although he's establishing different tattvas and philosophies when he's teaching Sanatana Rupa, but ultimately the underlying thing, and even in all his teachings, when Lord Chaitanya is teaching chapter 22 of Madhya Leela to Sanatana Goswami, it's called Sanatana Shiksha, he's right there, he's telling the sadhana Raghunuga Bhakti, he says, you must meditate on your Siddhadeya. This is Lord Chaitanya, chapter 22, verse 155, whatever. Madhya Leela. He's saying, in a day and a night, so this is no secret there.